This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
You know, for some Nigerians, they're more concerned now about staying alive than even making a living, you know, and, pursuing any other endeavor for that matter. My name is Eno Ogbeve. It's Friday, 8th July 2022. Normally on Fridays, we like to, you know, have a very light conversation, but the matters arising are so heavy that we cannot just do that at this time. So we heard on, that must have been Tuesday or Wednesday, that there was an attack on the president's advance convoy, you know, the one that will go to the location he's going to visit before he, you know, goes there himself. And they were attacked. So the report was that two police officers were injured. But then we saw another report that two police officers were killed. I'm not sure there's been any update on that yet. And then I think a day after, there was that jail attack at the Kuje Correctional Center in the FCT near Abuja. And, you know, the report that we got of what happened, they used bombs, they used explosives, they shot, and they took away several hundreds of inmates. Many of them have been tied to terrorist group Boko Haram. Some senior political figures were there who have been, you know, sent to jail. But the correctional center came out to say those ones are there. They didn't leave. Perhaps the attackers didn't get to that point. But where they got to, most of the people they wanted, they took them. About 1,000. But we got a report yesterday that they'd gotten back about 400. Now, one thing we all know at this point is that there's no CCTV there. Although they claim that they have data of those that were in their custody, no names were released, and they said that they've spoken to the chief around that Kuje area, who will work with the security operatives to get those who were hiding in the bushes back. But the attack was said to have happened for at least 2 hours. It was late night, 2 hours. What happened during all that time? And then what does that mean in the larger scale of things in terms of security? The audacity of terrorists attacking a president's advance convoy and then like a day later going to a correctional center to release their members. What would that mean? And then we have the US and the UK saying that, you know, their residents, their citizens should be cautious around not just the FCT and Lagos, also some other states and River State is mentioned as well. My guest, Ife Wanogo, security analyst, joins me via the phone. Good morning, Ife. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. I know, always a pleasure to be with you.
All right. So, for those who have been raising their voices about these two incidents, is it much ado about nothing?
Oh, no. We wouldn't say that. I believe there are very germane reasons for people to be worried, people to be apprehensive. In fact, I don't believe that the outrage is even enough, because we've had a steady decline and a slide in the past few years, and one would have thought that in the 8th year of the outgoing administration at the center, the federal administration, certain things would have been sorted, particularly with regards to law and order issues. This is part of the issues that I regard, and many people regard, as low-hanging fruits. No, but unfortunately, at this time, we still have such reports of such attacks. We are giving rise to all manner of speculations and conjecture. So I think people are within their rights. It's a natural reaction to be apprehensive. And the outrage should even be much more than we have, because if this can happen in Abuja, and if it can happen to the president's advance team, then who else is safe in the country? Because these are places where you know that they're supposed ordinarily to have the required amount of deterrence measures. They're supposed to have man and material. They're supposed to have personnel of the security agencies properly armed, and they're supposed to have other protection paraphernalia, if you like, you know, to be able to ensure that the entire concentric ring of security is enforced. So if it can happen in Abuja, Kuje prisons, where you have terrorists, you know, people of such caliber, you know, being held in custody and without any proper response, you know, from the feedback we've gotten, and you have what happened in Katsina, all within a 24-hour period, then people should definitively be worried. People should be worried.
Do you think there is a message his terrorists are trying to send at this point?
Oh, of course, certainly. Well, people have you could factor in a myriad of responses and possibilities. Mm. So it is possible that this is an insider information. It is possible that from very high quarters in the security agencies, in the correctional services, there are some collaborators. It is possible, like some people have speculated, that this is part of a prisoner swap deal, and it is made to seem like an attack, you know, to get some terrorists, some Boko Haram people out of detention, and then those hostages that have been kidnapped from the train, the Abuja-Kaduna train, will then be released. But of course, it remains to be seen. And the other thing too is election season is coming.
Mm.
So people want to send a clear-cut message. Is it possible that they want to, as much as possible, you know, go against the election season, you know, make sure the election does not hold when it should hold, postpone the elections, schedule preparations, or find a reason for there to be a national emergency to be declared. You know, so you never can tell what this is supposed to achieve. But the truth is that it's a sinister action that has happened. The motives are definitely very sinister and unsalubrious. They bring ill wind to the land. And it is only somebody who sits at the apex, you know, at the level of the presidency, the NSA, and the key intelligence agencies that will be able to see the bigger picture, assuming, of course, that they do what ordinarily they should do. But clearly, there is a clear-cut message. Abuja is not a border town.
Mm-hmm.
Abuja is in the center of Nigeria. So if we are saying it is ISWAP, it is Boko Haram and what have you, and they're able to launch such an attack in Abuja, it creates serious cause for concern. If it were somewhere in Borno, that is a border town, you know, somewhere in Ogun State, for instance, that has a long border as well, or somewhere in Lagos that borders the ocean, you could say, okay, maybe it's easy for them to have come from international borders and have come into the country. But this is in the center of the country, meaning, of course, that there has been compromise. There has been lethargy, in manner of speaking. So what happened to the different layers of security we have across board? So people should be worried, and whatever message they are sending, of course, it's hitting home. I was particularly taken aback at the president's response. I was disappointed at his own disappointment,
What
happened to the intelligence system?
Yeah, I was going to get to that. His response. Yeah. I mean, this is like is different from the regular condemning, you know, that he says.
Absolutely. I think he felt the need to come out a little strong in his response. And he was there, unlike previous experiences where he wouldn't even be there. But I understand from information available that he was on his way to the airport, traveling out to Senegal. And that was why he stopped. You know, one would have thought that given the sequence of events that happened leading up to that particular Abuja medium prison attack, the president would have called off whatever movement he was making it and summon the security team and take immediate actions, you know, both short-term and long-term actions. But he continued on his journey. Nobody has been fired. I've not heard of any broadcast from the Minister of Interior. You know, I've not heard that anybody has been placed on suspension. The CG of Correctional Services, or Controller of Prisons, if you like, is still in office. And so what are we talking about being disappointed at such a response? Yes, it's coming rather late in the day. This is the 8th year of President Muhammadu Buhari in office. This is the 8th year. So you cannot be learning on the job at this time. You cannot be expressing shock at the intelligence system because you are supposed to have built it if it was missing. If it happened in your 4th year, we would have said, okay, you are consolidating in your first term of office. But this is happening in your 8th year. You have done complete 7 years in office as commander-in-chief. And it's intelligence agencies answer to you. Security agencies answer to you. So if anybody is to be blamed from where I stand, it is the commander-in-chief. So I am disappointed in his own disappointment, and he has expressed his commentary. But Nigerians are expecting action, because I have said, like I've said previously, it is lack of action, lack of consequence management, and this institutionalized mediocrity, if you like, that caused us to seem as though we do not know what to do as a people. There are everyday things that ordinarily should be done, but it appears like we do not know what to do because we allow mediocres to fill office and we allow intelligence and professional bodies to be run like everyday civil service and parastatals. And this is not acceptable, clearly not acceptable.
So there have been several attacks on correctional centers in the last few years. There was that in Plateau. I think it was last year, 252 inmates escaped. Then the one that happened in Imo State just here. Then we had the one in Oko during, after the NSAS protest around that time in Benin City. Which other one have we had? I think there was an attempt on that Kuje some time ago. Yes.
Yes. So
Kotonkafi, Kogi. Yeah, that place is a regular visitation zone for those who, you know, do the jailbreaks and things like that. But from the build up, it looks like some sort of build up. Would you have expected some form of intervention defense wise at the correctional centers?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, most of the prisons we have, correctional centers from so-called medium to maximum, they have been, when they were built originally, they were in the outskirts of town.
Mm.
And at that time, the kind of crimes we had operating in the country are not the same kinds of crimes we have now.
Mm.
Now we have terrorism. We have people who are ready to kill themselves as they kill others just to send a political message or just to send a so-called religious message. So these prisons are supposed to have been upgraded, and it's supposed to have been done as late as yesterday, meaning that we are late in the day. Any new government that comes into the Minister of Interior, part of what should be the terms of reference is matching orders would be those agencies ordering you, the civil defense, the prisons. What are your plans for Nigerian prisons?
Mm.
And he, in turn, would break down the neck of the Controller General of Prisons, of course, being the political appointee that oversees it. What are we going to do? Because many of these prisons, from where I stand, are supposed to have been relocated from where they are. And if you will not relocate them, you relocate the civilian population from that area.
Mm.
And you ensure that you have proper security, proper landscape. You know, there's something called crime prevention through environmental design. For places like prison, you cannot locate them where you have a civilian population, because it's difficult for you to have proper surveillance in your facility and to detect anybody who ordinarily is an outsider, who is an intruder, who has some sinister motives. So the upgrade should have happened long ago. The other thing, beyond the fact that organization has caught up with our prisons, the issue of having high profile inmates being kept in maximum medium security prison is an issue. It shows that medium security prison, it shows that something is amiss, you know, something is wrong with our system. So people could say, okay, they were kept there because probably closeness to cause and what have you, but I think not. Okay, how many days after this attack now, we've not had the faces of these inmates? We've not had their names and faces all over the media. We've not had them.
But
so which records do they say they have? And we heard that there was an attack on the record section. There was some conflagration. There was fire that was set on the record center and what have you. They said they are backed up. Backed up where? Where are the faces? I doubt that they are backed up. Yes, we may be able to have recovered some of the prisoners, rearrested some of them. But for me, I would say that's a chance occurrence. Even. But something is wrong. The Kuje traditional authority is being co-opted to assist. Do you think that such people will still be in Kuje at this time? People were able to operate for 2 hours, 3 hours. What happened to the entire security architecture that we have around? What is the response level of our agencies in Abuja? Let's assume this was going to happen in the presidential villa. So is this the kind of response we're going to get? Because clearly there was no response from where I see it. There was no response. And ordinarily, you would have said that we should have had minimum response, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, as the case may be.
Even one
but
hour.
Funny enough, I heard that there's a MOPOL, a mobile police formation.
Not far from there.
Not too far from that particular place.
Mm.
Yet, the unfortunate thing is that because of the way we've bastardized security, how are you sure that you have enough men to even protect that particular police formation?
Mm.
So much more to talk about now, getting a response team from there. Because everything is not right with our security. And for me, being a retired general, a former head of state, this should have been its very low-hanging fruit. It should have sorted the issue of law and order. Security is easy for you to handle because it's regimented.
Mm.
If somebody is not doing his job, either criminal complicity or negligence to act or dereliction of duty, you can get him out of office and you can punish him, which will not serve as deterrence to others. But when heads do not rule enough, when we've had the Owerri incident, we've had the Jos incident, we have the Oko incident, and we continue to have incidents, and nothing happens.
Even,
nobody is punished.
Even Lagos, there was, you know, during that NSAS, there was that attempt at the Ikoyi maximum prisons. You remember that? So there have been several.
Exactly.
There have been several, actually.
Exactly. So for me, it's something we need to begin to hold people to account. The problem I think we have is because we do not hold people to account, and I think the political way to get things done is largely missing.
Hmm. There was one in Bauchi, Ubiaja, in Edo State, in Kano, in Oyo, and of course, okay, Kuje being the latest. If Wanogo is my guest, we have to pause now for a commercial, and we will reconnect with him. The Senate president did visit, and he too expressed disappointment. I'm not sure how that solves anything, but he was talking about the CCTV not being there at the Kuje prison. The other prisons that were attacked, did they have CCTV? And like if they said, the data they claim that they have, where exactly is it backed up? My name is Enoch Beveri. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We've got about 20 minutes to wrap this up. It is a Friday morning, 8th of July, 2022. My name is Enoch Beveri. My guest security analyst, Ife Wanogo, joins me via the phone. We're looking at the attack on the president's advance team and, of course, the Kuje Correctional Center. It is a medium prison. And from what we hear from the authorities, about 500 inmates at large. All of them tied to terror groups. They at large. So Ife's back on the phone. Ife, so what we saw after that attack was the UK and the US issuing separate security advisories to their citizens in Nigeria. What is that really about? Some people don't understand when, you know, foreign embassies send, you know, or issue advisories like this. What is this? Because not just Abuja and Lagos, they're also 18 or 17 other states, right? So the FCT, Lagos, and 17 other states. I believe Rivers is there. I think Imo is there as well. Let me get to it. And they're saying that they should avoid high-profile public events, hotels, clubs, and restaurants frequented by tourists, places of worship, schools, parks, shopping malls, and markets. Public transport systems, you know. What is that about?
Well, I think this is part of the modus operandi of the foreign missions that we have from their home office. Mm. They do this not just for Nigeria. They do it across the globe. These are countries that take the security of their citizens very seriously. And when they think that their lives are at risk, they issue such advisories. This has been going on since the military rule in Nigeria. You always hear about these advisories. And this particular one that was released, I understand that they particularly even mentioned the Abuja Airport Road area.
Yes, which is where you do a detour into Kuje. Kuje is just off the express. Yeah.
Exactly. So with the escape, if you like, of hardened criminals, terrorists, people who are adherents or members of Boko Haram, ISWAP, Ansaru, whatever you call them, whatever ilk, which are released from such custody, and with the failure of security to prevent that incident, everybody should be worried. It is clear that such foreign missions, the US, Great Britain, they will definitely do the needful, because if one of their citizens were to be in harm's way, they will not rest, they will go out of their way to rescue such a person.
Okay.
So it's better for them to give this advice, because it's cheaper for them rather than allow an incident to happen and they start being reactive.
Okay, so if we have Delta, Bayelsa, Rivers, Akwa Ibom, and Cross River State, why are they also part of, you know, the areas they told their citizens to be cautious of traveling to.
Yeah, so these states have actually been there for a while. That's the truth. You know, they have different categorization. There are times when you see they have red zones. I mean, the red zones are places like maybe Borno, Zamfara, Kaduna, Yobe. And they have other zones which is like amber, it is yellow. It's okay, be very cautious and you need minimum security before you move in such places. And they have other places where they just say, okay, exercise due caution. So places like rivers and delta that are there, they're not there simply because of this attack alone.
Mm.
The issues of kidnapping are still there. Remember the Owo incident that happened in Ondo State? You understand? That has not been sorted, has not been solved.
Mm-hmm.
We do not know how that happened and who are those behind it. So they issue such advisories because places like Rivers, places like Bayelsa, places like Imo State, although in the South-South we've not had much of the unknown gunmen debacle, but we've had them in the Southeast. And the Southeast borders the South-South in many states. You have the Rivers and Owerri axis, you have the Delta and Anambra axis, you understand?
Mm.
Then you have the Akwa Ibom and Abia axis. So you can see that the South-South is contiguous with the Southeast, where unknown gunmen have been holding sway for a while. Although we understand that the security agents in that area, in those areas, have been trying to limit the activities of these unknown gunmen. So it is perfectly understandable. Sometimes people could think that these advisories are bogus, but I think not, because the fact that you need security, you can see for even Nigerians, when kidnapping started, it was for foreigners, but even Nigerians that consider themselves a little well off, you never see them travel without security, without armed security. Meaning, of course, that they know that there is a risk, there is a resident risk that is available there. And the chances that you meet this risk is 50-50. So why not secure yourself? Because we've even had times where even with your physical security measures, with your government security forces that you have, they still attack because they are looking for even the guns and they have superior firepower, the criminals.
Even look at Governor Zulum. He's been attacked several times.
Exactly. So in Borno State, and you know how tough, how fortified his security team would be, yet he has been exposed to attack. And funny enough, we've not still seen any outrage. And that's one governor that seems to have a very huge following. You know, people like him. They think he has been very active. But whereas these kind of things happen, they will never put the blame where the blame should be. They will tell you that the government is doing very well in security, and yet the attacks keep on happening. So sometimes I find it hard to take some people very seriously. Because if you, the governor, with all your police and DSS and the military, can be attacked, what happens to those ordinary Nigerians?
Interesting.
They all sworn oaths to defend.
Interesting that you mentioned the DSS, Ife, because that also came up in the course of responding to the incident. What is going on with them? What do you think might be going on?
DSS primarily is an intelligence agency.
Mm.
Of course, to a reasonable extent, they also conduct counterintelligence. They take countermeasures to deter things. And I understand that in this Kuje attack, there was available intelligence that something was going to happen.
So
even 24 to 48 hours before this thing happened. But the problem with intelligence failure, operational failure, if you like, is that sometimes the consumer of intelligence is lethargic, he's complacent, to use a better word. Nothing is going to happen, we've had this before, and what are we going to do about it? Do not even have the means.
Is the word not conspirator, if you're here? Because I don't understand how you're going to be complacent when, maybe again, like you said, nobody's being punished, so if you're complacent or not, nothing is going to happen. 2 hours
exactly.
Plus.
So. If I were to be in any of these agencies at a command position, of course, heads are definitely going to roll. Because even if you were just complacent, that in itself could be likened to be conspiratorial. You understand? There is negligence that is criminal. And there is negligence that you could say that it is out of order and we cannot have that just go away. So the truth is that I think the intelligence agencies cannot be blamed entirely. But if I were at the top of such an agency and I release intelligence estimates and the needful is not done, I won't remain in that agency because my own integrity is being put on the line. See what is happening in the UK. People are leaving, people resign from office because Boris Johnson, who they felt they were in his cabinet, made some very silly mistakes. In Nigeria, the man will still be in office. because they don't want to be associated. So if I'm heading an agency and I think that I've asked for XYZ and the government of the day or my employers, my appointing officers are not giving me what I require to work, why would I remain in office?
Well, they will tell you, they will tell you there are no jobs. Where are they going to go to? And then again, the officer you are saying should resign would also condemn in very strong terms what has happened when, you know, the book was at his table. Anyway, let's take some messages, then we'll take questions. We'll take calls, rather. This one says, on open source information credited to Senate President that no CCTV in Kuje Correctional Center is a typical lie. I'm deeply saddened with the attack. As a former security operative in the Nigerian military, I visited Kuje Prison on tour of duty. There is CCTV, but the issue is compromised by some elements within the correctional services and threat to our nationhood. Every citizen should be proactive for personal safety. Habba, nation's capital city, something is very wrong. I'm seeing calamity. Jim Bari, Karibo Nelson, send that in from Ogutown, says a veteran of the armed forces. Somebody is saying I should get someone to talk about the handicap of the correctional service. Says because he believes that the politicians who are talking are merely covering up their iniquities. He's of the opinion that that organization has not been giving a fair attention as a core security service. Leme from Eleme. Well, where are we? For ISWAP to carry out that kind of operation in Abuja successfully means they are already residing in Abuja and they have operational cells in the capital of Nigeria. Ibibia Fineman sent that in. The Nigerian Prison Authority in the Federal Capital Territory does not have CCTV to record activities, but Boko Haram has CCTV, which they were able to record their own attack in the prison and send to us. Who is deceiving who? 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. Perhaps it's a question of who wants it the most. So the terrorists want to be seen, to be working, and the other guys, they have nothing at stake. I'll take some calls. On Twitter, we're at Nigerian4PH. On Facebook, at Nigeria4PH as well. Facebook, we've got a few messages here. Okosisi Adeoji, the attack on Kuje Prison has proved the state of security status. Kiala Ark, Nigeria lacks good security intels and I suspect sabotage. Chile Edwin, indeed there must be an insider that collaborated with the criminals to break the Kuje Prison and the government must not allow these persons to go scot-free. And the attack on the president's advance team should not be a surprise because the team can just run into the criminals. But the government should improve on intelligence gathering. You run into the criminals with... Do you know what an advanced team looks like? Stanley Wogu, there's no way the bandits, ISWAP, or any other armed fundamentalists could have staged such a very successful attack without tactical support and information sharing from security agencies or those working or in charge of the facility. This country is a mess. I would ask you a question on that in a bit, but Kingsley is calling from Eleme Junction. Good morning, Kingsley. Go on.
Yeah, good morning, all. Okay, good. If you remember what happened in our armory in Kaduna,
yes,
where they were attacked, were they not CCTV there? Was it on? It wasn't on, but there was CCTV there, right? Good. That gives you information of what is actually happening in Nigerian government. Two. Ordinary bird will fly above that house in the US. They will bring it down and investigate that bird. But in Anson Rock, whatever can fly above, nobody suspects it. So we have seen the issue of Boko Haram and ISWAP has become a thing of norm. I mean, look at what is going on right now. As a matter of fact, everybody in the state of danger as I speak. So please, I am advising federal government to take every other thing and focus on security.
Right.
Finally, let President Muhammad Buhari spend every meeting outside the country and look at the situation of what is happening in this country.
Thank you, Kingsley. I mean, he's here more than he's there. And if he's here and we're not seeing solutions, I'm not sure what that would solve. But Temple is calling from Marwan Park. Good morning, Temple.
Good morning once again, the very distinguished. On the issue of the Senate President expressing disappointment, I want to ask quickly, can the minister The senator, tell us if money has been earmarked or budgeted for CCTV camera. Then if indeed they are sincere in making sure we have a better Nigeria, if at all money has emerged, is somebody not being held responsible for that, non-installment of CCTV camera? And looking at the presidential advance convoy being attacked, at this point in time, is it bad if the president summoned security emergency meeting based on what his aide has told you so far that they are ordeal while going to their venue of events? Thank you.
Well, the president has summoned several security meetings in the past. Not sure what happened, because after every meeting, it would look like the terrorists aren't working. But Efe's here. Efe, let's talk about this Stanley's comment that there's no way the bandits or whoever staged that successful attack without tactical support and information sharing from security agencies or those working in charge of the facility.
Yeah, I think Stanley is not far from the truth, but the other thing you must look at is that the support may not actually be active. Very likely there is conspiracy, there is active connivance. But for me, anybody who is a mediocre, who is complacent, who doesn't do the needful, who has failure of supervision, has passively supported what has happened. So for me, I see it as conspiracy either way you look at it. Whether or not somebody was actively trying to aid and abet this crime, or whether it was just because we have institutionalized this way of doing things, this very lackadaisical way approach to things, where people even leave their duty post to go and pray, to go and have lunch, and there's nobody covering, and what have you, and you have a minimum number of manpower to man such locations. If you require 20 men to be on duty, for instance, you may not have more than 3, and there's no consequence management. So for me, yes, there's insider collaboration. The person who is supposed to ensure that he has adequate manpower, proper handling and taking over, and does not ensure that, has collaborated. But of course, the worst would be that there are people in the prison or people in the government very high up who have actually collaborated, who have said, okay, I don't know if you've heard or not that there was a redeployment of the soldiers who were around that area less than 24 hours before this actually happened.
We heard that, but not from the authorities.
So those who were already, suggests is that those who were already familiar with the area, who were on ground, were removed. And others were here to settle down, and this happened. What I find disturbing too is people operated for 2 hours or thereabouts. How many injuries and how many dead bodies do you have on both sides? So was there accident of firepower? Or was the firepower just from one area, one angle, from the assailant?
Mm.
What was the response that you had? So there are many questions to be asked and many questions to be answered. And until we have the will by the political office holders at this level, the president, who will have to break down people and demand results. Until we have that, I doubt that much is going to change.
No, but isn't it very disturbing? I mean, you're talking about lethargic officers, this and that. But, I mean, we're seeing the attacks, they're now widespread across the states, unlike what used to be a few years ago. Should we be having this, waiting for anyone to muster courage, or, you know, is it because they have convoys? But Zulum has a convoy, or has convoys, or goes with the convoy, and he's been attacked several times. So what is it really that is beclouding their minds or making them so relaxed, when perhaps it should be in a national state of emergency security-wise?
Well, the truth is that, yes, they are also at risk, but they're not as exposed as the ordinary Nigerian. So for those who are going to attack them, it takes a determined aggressor who has superior firepower. But for all the ordinary Nigerian who is not even allowed to move around with a knife, he's very much exposed. So his exposure is much more. Now, most politicians we have, unlike other parts of the world, are in politics to make money, unfortunately. And politics ideally should not give you money. You know, I don't know any American president that is among the richest persons in America. You won't find that.
Mm-hmm.
But having held public office in Nigeria, having been the governor of so-called rich states, or being in the federal office, or being in some juicy ministries, in the manner of speaking, it makes you to be a very wealthy person. How? Because there is so much corruption going on, and that's the reason they're in office. So they do not actually think about what they bring to the table for the ordinary Nigerian. They're not really perturbed about somebody being killed somewhere, somebody being killed. And you can see that we don't have the shock element any longer in our country.
Mm.
When Boko Haram started, remember when we had the October 2010
bombing
blast?
Yeah.
If I'm correct with the dates now, exactly, at Abuja.
Yeah, Eagle Square.
There was so much shock in the land.
Mm.
But 12 years down the line, you can see that people don't really care any longer. The shock element has gone. We have become so used to the news of they've killed somebody here, they've killed somebody there. In fact, you will not hear presidential spokesman saying that they used to kill much more before our time. How many bombs are you hearing now? It's a mess. That is the absolute truth. People who go into office must be those who are going into office because they want to offer service. And they have a day job. They have a second address. Unfortunately, we have people in office who don't have a second address and all. So they're just there simply because they want to make money. So they don't really care. And these things, hopefully, as we are going into the election cycle, hopefully as we are seeing the discontent in the land, let's say that by the next round of elections, we hope that we'll have better people in office, particularly at the national level, where they can have control over the security agencies and the security situation.
Thank you very much, Ifeanyi, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
But you know how they say it, hope is not a strategy. The elections are going to come, whether the bombings or the attacks continue or not. Hopefully they don't distort the elections, but the ordinary Nigerian is exposed, and those who are in offices go around with convoys, but that is not even a guarantee that what could happen to the ordinary Nigerian would not happen to them at some point. Case in point, Governor Zulum. But let's hope again that someone will wake up at some point and realize that we're talking about lives. We're talking about people. It's not just the numbers. It is more about the people. The president is waiting for a comprehensive report, by the way. So perhaps when he gets it, we'll get some more disappointment or perhaps something better. Like some of you have said, an urgent Security Council meeting being held to see if perhaps there's a new way to go about curbing insurgency and attacks. And especially perhaps we also see a beef up of security at the correctional centers, both the medium and the maximum. My name is Enogbevere. Thank you for joining the conversation. Keep safe. Have a great holiday on Monday and Tuesday. Good morning.